Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Being on stage feels like someone else, but also more yourself than you've ever felt.
This feels like getting to live in your imagination.
Seeing everyone again brought back so many memories.
Being able to be in this show will be one of the greatest treasures of my life.
Hello and welcome back to Patreon with Cheese. I am joined as always by my wonderful editor and good friend Elizabeth Esten.
Hello.
Are we at that point in our relationship where I can call you a good friend?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay, it's not just like professional colleague anymore. It's just good friend.
I'd say we're friends. I'd say we're friends at this point.
Oh, we're not good friends yet. We're just friends.
No, we're good friends. We're friends.
All right. Speaking of friends, we're back at Encore, and we're covering two episodes. We want to get the rest of this over with so we can get on to more fun things. So
yes.
We're covering two episodes a week now. So this is episode 7 and 8. Let's dive into episode 7 first. What we got, Liz?
We got Godspell in, I forgot what state.
I think it was Austin.
Yeah, I think it was Texas. So we got Godspell. They're from like the 90s. So they're in their 30s now, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they look great.
They look amazing.
Okay, on my first watch with this, this this is the only performance I would have actually paid money to go see. I think the stagecraft is incredible. The idea, they like changed it. Godspell is the kind of show where you shouldn't just put on a replica of the original off-Broadway cast. You should do your own thing. And they bring a theme and idea here so perfect. The cast fucking nailing it. Like, so good.
So good. I love this episode. It was fantastic.
This episode's so good.
I literally, like, I tried to think of who's the best of them, and I could not pick one. I was like, they're all great.
Like, they were all expecting Jesus to not do great, and then he knocked out the park and didn't mess up a single line.
He did it, and, like, it was fantastic. Everyone did great. This is a performance I actually wanted to see the whole version of. Like,
yeah, post that on Disney Plus. I'd love to see it.
I don't care about Eternals. Just post that.
I watched Eternals, and I still don't care about Eternals.
I haven't seen Eternals, and I don't care to watch it.
It's very long.
Yeah.
And you feel the length.
Yeah, so that's what happens to get an Oscar bait director to make a Marvel movie.
Like, I thought we'd focus on the story, and then we didn't.
At least Richard Madden was in it. He's
handsome. Hot.
He's so hot. I was so sad when he didn't last super long on Game of Thrones.
Spoils.
I know, I'm so sorry. But Game of Thrones is out for a while, guys.
you've got another Game of Thrones guy in there, barely. He shows up at the beginning, shows up at the end, and then I'm like, oh, the Stark brothers or something.
Is it Kit Harington?
Yes.
Okay.
He was actually my first choice to play Wolverine since he's a short boy. Wolverine is short and smelly. Hugh Jackman's too tall and attractive to be Wolverine, to be honest.
He's also a bad Harold Hill, but that's a different discussion on a different podcast.
Yeah. But you know what? I feel like any of the cast of this Godspell production would have been a good Harold Hill. Like,
100%.
All right, this made me realize white people are just bad at theater. Maybe that's the reason why Broadway so white is because they don't want to get upshown by literally any people of color. People of color, especially black people, train for this very early on. It is like part of their culture to sing and all that, like going to church. Like, I grew up in Detroit and I'm like, man, I'm getting outsung by everyone here.
There's literally a scene in this episode where they go to a church and sing gospel music at the at a black church, and it's one of the best scenes in the entire series.
It's incredible, and that's part of the reason why this, like, I've never seen a black Godspell before. They embrace their culture, they embrace, like, the stylistic choice. So good, a black director comes in?
It was largely a black crew, right, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
It, absolutely incredible. The best episode. Like, if you're watching any episode of Encore, watch this one.
Watch this one.
Episode 7.
Like, I know we said Oklahoma was the best episode, but... it's the best
so
like,
far.
So far, God's at the time it was so far it was the best episode. This is the best episode.
Yeah. Even without Adam Wachter, it's still very good.
Adam Wachter is not in this episode, but
He is, sir, not appearing in this episode.
We missed him.
I really like the vibe of this. I like that there wasn't any of that stupid, like, what would you go back and tell your former self kind of stuff.
Oh, God.
Like, no, sit in the room and stare and pretend you're talking. Like, really? There was?
There was, like, a little version of it, I think. Where they...
It wasn't, like, as focused on as it was in every, like, episode.
Like, when Coy Middlebrook does it, it goes on for 15 minutes, and you're just like...
Yeah. That's, like, an entire day of rehearsal.
We have things to do, Coy Middlebrook. We need to, like, get shit done.
Coy Middlebrook was like their Nick Fury of this show, and then he did not live up to that at all.
No, he's like an executive producer too.
Like, Coy, good on you, but should have been Adam Wachter.
You're half decent director.
Hi guys, I'm here. We're gonna straighten you guys up. Let's do. You can do better than that.
Coy, you're a decent director. Stop
trying to be the emotional therapy for everyone.
Stop trying to ask people to talk to their high school selves for 20 minutes.
He had one move. He had one move, and he really leaned into it.
When Coy Middlebrook goes to pursue whatever gender he likes, he's just like, so, what would you say to your high school self if you could talk to them right now?
Didn't I ask you something, like, in our first, like,
yeah.
meeting?
I asked you
something like that.
You asked me what I'd say to my high school self, and I've been thinking about it more and more as the question keeps coming up.
It's a good question.
It's a good question. It is. I don't...
My favorite is when I asked Andrew that, and he was like, oh, just keep being awesome.
That's such an
interesting... I wish I had his confidence.
Same. No, I would just tell my high school self, like, yo, I know you're really lonely and sad right now, but it'll get better. Just wait it out. You're good. You're good. Also, it's okay to cry. You're fine. Just cry it out.
Mine would be food is good for you. Yeah.
Also, do theater. It's really helpful.
Yeah, it is.
It's really helpful. Even if your first show is Les Mis, of all things.
Hey, Les Mis is a quality show.
I know, but when you're a freshman in high school, it's a bit of a big ask.
What are you talking about? It's the easiest show to put on. There's nothing to it.
Yeah,
small
totally.
Cast, upbeat show.
It's super upbeat. It always makes me feel better. Also, I was reading a summary to Godspell because I've never seen Godspell as with most
there ain't
classic,
much to it.
Classic musicals, and I legit could not figure out what was going on. And I was like, okay. And then randomly Judas dies at the end of this episode, but they cut that
Jesus.
All of that. Jesus, I mean. They cut all of that out.
Well, do you want me to tell you what Godspell's about? Do you wait, hold on.
He's going to get something. I'm just doing a live-by-live commentary while recording. He's abandoned me, and I'm just talking here to fill the space.
Do you want me to tell you what Godspell's about?
Oh, God. Yeah, okay. He just, for those of you who are listening, he just grabbed the vinyl to Godspell.
So... It is every song on the soundtrack or the cast album is a parable from the Bible.
Yes.
So this is like the most accurate adaptation of the Bible, the Holy Bible so
far.
Oh,
the Bible. Is it more than Jesus Christ Superstar is?
Yes. Because this is literal just biblical text put to song.
Oh.
That's the thing about Godspell.
That sounds like my childhood nightmare.
And that's why it's so complex for a lot of folks to take in. As opposed to Jesus Christ Superstar. Jesus Christ Superstar is a very secular show where Godspell, despite having some catchy-ass tunes, some fucking bops in that show, it is so entangled with the actual messaging of the Bible and what it's trying to say, and you cannot take that away, which is why I think a more strange and stylistic production of it is the only way you can really do so. Because you can't change the messages. So in the 70s, their way of getting around it was to turn them all into fucking clowns and make them like a group of circus performers and like tell Three Stooges jokes. And when they revived it in 2011 with Lindsay Mendez, George Salazar, and what's that little twink's name? Shit. The white kid. Fuck.
There's so many little Broadway twinks. It's so vague.
Hunter Foster.
Hunter Foster, yeah.
Yeah, in that production, they just made it a bunch of cool kids and made it very acoustic. And they had, like, they were kicking water over the place and jumping on trampolines and made it, like, weird and scene kid. So Godspell is best when not taken literally at all, which is why this production is so good, where they just, instead of, where every time someone has a Bible lesson to go, they stand up at a mic and they perform. It's brilliant. It's such a good idea for what this show is.
Also, it's Julius Berndt says during the Harlem Renaissance, because the costuming is just so, like, fantastic all around. Like, it's gorgeous. Gorgeous. Everyone looks so good. Even the wigs aren't terrible.
Together.
Like, the wig work in Encore is a mixed bag, if you have yet to see. It is a mixed bag.
And then they're like, we can't do bald caps.
Yeah, they cannot. But, like, the wig work here, I didn't even notice there were wigs on half of them. Only on the guy who played Jesus, because he was bald. So, also, there wasn't a ton of wigs, which probably helped. So, Encore, please use less wigs.
You know what? Just let people be what they are.
Just let people use their hair.
That goes for films, too.
People use their hair. Let them embrace their hair. I have too much hair right now, which makes me sad.
Don't donate it, Liz.
I don't think it's long enough right now. But.
You'd look great with a bob, by the way. I feel like that's worth saying.
Nah, I'm good. I like having long hair. At least long. I've contemplated it. I'm good. I think I'm okay.
That's fine.
Maybe one day.
I don't know. You have a very round face. That
I
would
suit
that.
Do have a round face.
Not like an angular face, the way that kind of makes some folks look odd with it. Okay, while we're talking about random bullshit before we transition into the next episode.
Yes.
Thoughts on the Bill Hader Anna Kendrick reveal? I feel like there's no one else I can talk. Like, that feels like a good relationship to me. That's like the anti-Olivia Munn and fucking John Mulaney.
Honestly, I was delighted when I found out. I was like, that's adorable. I love it. This is amazing.
That's like
a
best case scenario for relationships.
It really is. Like, Bill Hader is a delightful human. Like, I love Bill Hader. I've watched like a quarter of Barry and it's amazing. I need to watch more.
But also, it's like the female and male equivalent to each other in Hollywood's eyes found each other.
It really is. Because, like, if there's a part that's a lady Bill Hader, they would cast Anna Kendrick. It's just like.
Well, they did that in Noelle. They were brother and sister in that movie.
Oh, yeah, they were. Oh, my God, that's so weird. That is so weird. That is a weird
and
origin.
And the fact that they kind of kept it a secret for a year.
I respect that. I respect that, like, fully. No, I am fully down with this relationship. They're adorable. I love it. I love Bill Hader. I love Anna Kendrick. I ship it. Make it happen.
And this is, like, the first famous person she's ever dated, because she's, like, dated, I mean, famous as in, like, movie star person.
Yeah.
Because she, like, dates grips, cinematographers, and directors up to this point. Like, her most high-profile relationship was Edgar Wright. Let's just say that.
So, a bunch of grips thought they had a shot with Anna Kendrick until Bill Hader came along.
I mean, yeah. And Anna Kendrick said this. She's like, everyone's always like, are you going to, like, fuck Ryan Reynolds? I'm like, be more. I'll probably fuck a grip or something. I don't know.
See, people who work on crews are also attractive.
They are also attractive. Except for directors, they're all horrible, ugly people, just like me.
No.
Thoughts on this Godspell episode?
No. I reject that thought. I reject it.
Why?
Because you are not ugly. Don't say that.
Oh, I thought you were about to, like, defend Michael Bay or something.
No, I'm not defending Michael Bay. Michael Bay is ugly as shit, but...
Is there any attractive directors? Yeah, gotcha!
You're right. I'm just saying no negative self-talk about you.
Don't make it not true. Okay, actors turn directors don't count, so Bradley Cooper don't count.
Edgar Wright's okay.
He, like... Sometimes he looks like a cave troll, and sometimes he looks like a real handsome dude.
Yeah,
it all depends on the day you find him.
Yeah, and what era he's in. Like, young Edgar Wright wasn't half bad.
Yeah, when he was, like, a little... I think directors just eat their own, like, souls eventually. You know who the first one that came into my mind of, like, oh, yeah, he's hot in a weird way? Guillermo del Toro. He's kind of hot.
I mean,
Ryan Coogler. Ryan Coogler is hot as fuck.
Oh, Ryan Coogler is very hot. I will... Yes, totally. Ryan Coogler. Amazing.
Is there anyone else?
I can't think of anyone. I'm trying to think of, like, a female director, but there aren't enough in Hollywood, so...
Oh, I saw Kathryn Bigelow in person. She is gorgeous.
Oh, Kathryn Bigelow is absolutely beautiful. Gorgeous. Beautiful. Also, I'm so happy she beat her husband to win an Oscar. So
he already had his.
That's such a power play. Like, yes. It is. Her ex-husband,
Other female directors? Come on. There's got to be more, Zhao? Right? Greta Gerwig, I guess?
Yeah, she started out acting, but she's mostly a director.
Oh, yeah, actors turned directors. We already ruled them out.
Yeah, no, she started out acting, so.
I mean, Patty Jenkins is just kind of like, I don't know, she looks like a worker.
Patty Jenkins is pretty. I will say that, but she's, I don't think she's like Hollywood insane attractive.
Ava DuVernay.
Beautiful woman.
She's gorgeous. Beautiful Sophia woman. Coppola. Yeah, there's not enough. Kathy Hahn, who did what the fuck was that movie called? Birds of Prey.
Oh, Birds of Prey.
And wrote Fernell. So many beautiful, beautiful.
There's so
directors.
Many beautiful women working in Hollywood. We should get more of them. Hollywood, get more beautiful
Fernell.
Women.
Stop writing Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals and get over here and write some more movies.
Don't write musicals about how Cinderella is a Tumblr girl who likes chicken nuggets and beer. Stop.
I'm a bad Cinderella. I like nuggets and beer.
I don't go out on the weekends because I'm different.
I'm better than you.
I like boy stuff. Like, man, I like boy stuff. That's too bad. I like it better. I wear flannels in the 18th century where they weren't a thing.
If that's your biggest issue with that musical.
I have many issues with that musical. I'm just really mad at the main character for being a fucking Tumblr girl.
There are much worse musicals out there. Let me just say that.
Oh, no. I have problems with it, but I think it's fun and stupid at the end of the day if you don't think about
it. The thing is, the plot just makes literally no sense. That's kind of, like, it is in Emerald Fennell's ballpark that she should have not made the story be an absolute nonsense pile.
Yeah, I read the plot summary and I thought I was on crack. I was like, wait, the brother comes back and he's gay? What?
Like, that part's fine. I would have much rather followed his plot line. Yeah, but that's not the problem I have. It's like, she gets plastic surgery and all it does is make her in a dress and then no one recognizes her.
Yeah,
and
she's also wearing a wig.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So stupid. I hate shit like that. Either way, episode 8 of Encore, Fiddler on the Roof.
Yes, back on track. Fiddler, yes.
Adam Wachter's back!
And he has a friend!
He does.
The director is not Coy Middlebrook. It's Chase Brock, and they're delightful. I want to see a buddy comedy of those two.
Hell yeah. And also, Kristen Bell shows up and actually is useful for a bit.
Kristen Bell serves a function on this show 8 episodes in.
It took us this long.
It's amazing.
Why didn't they make this episode 2 or something?
I don't know. Like the first episode, Kristen Bell showed up and took credit for everything. And then she disappeared for 7 episodes. And then she's back. It's like, what the fuck?
She actually helped, though. Like, honestly, all she has to do is show up and have a guy sing at her. I swear I would have also sung much better if I had Kristen Bell there.
Oh, 100%. Also, I love how, like, one of the guys is like, let's be real here. Kristen Bell's meeting Dustin. Like,
I love Dustin's response, which is like, I hope that Dak would come out, and then he didn't.
I've never met someone who would rather see Dak Shepard than Kristen Bell, of all people. Dak Shepard, I last saw in Idiocracy.
Most he recently. Was in that, wasn't he?
He was. He played the lawyer.
Wasn't he in Chips?
He executive produced Chips.
Oh.
He also had Kristen Bell in it.
The only thing I remember about the movie Chips is, I think it's Michael Pena, talking about eating ass. He's like, if they got baby wipes, then they're good for eating ass. He's like, well, if they don't have baby wipes, I do it anyway. You only live once. I'm like, what the I'm imagining a grandmother going in because I'm like, I love the Chips TV show when I was a youngin'. And then they go in there and they see that scene. I'm like, oh, no.
21 Jump Street was a great movie, guys. Let's stop trying to remake it.
21 Jump Street is Chris Lord and Phil Miller. They're the only reasons why those movies worked. If you do it without them, it won't work. Sorry.
100%. Stop trying to remake 21 Jump Street.
And Lego Movie. Stop both of those.
Seriously, stop trying to remake a Lego Movie. That was a lightning in the bottle. And then we tried again, and it didn't work.
And then you stop trying to remake Sprite. Everything. Okay, Chris Lord and Phil Miller. Very grateful for their existence in movies.
Same.
Because every time, every 5 years, they reinvent the entire cinema. So much that everyone rips them off for the next 5 years, and they have to find a new way to do it.
I can't wait for the... I haven't seen Mitchells vs. the Machines yet, but...
So fucking good.
I cannot wait for it to see all the knockoffs of that movie that will be released by various streaming services.
I cried, and I don't cry very easily at movies, and I was, very, very emotionally touched.
I might have to watch that today.
I mean, it's about a filmmaker from Michigan, dealing with a lot of, you know!
You really relate to it. Now, I was looking at the Letterbox, end of the year breakdown, and it ended with an audio clip of Mitchells vs. the Machines about how movies are cool, and I'm like, that's cool.
The movie is so flippin' good.
Movies
if you haven't
cool,
watched
guys.
That.
I have not watched it, but I'm planning on it.
What is your favorite film of last year? Since, what do we have to say about Fiddler? Come on.
I don't know. All I have to say about Fiddler is I saw the movie one time when I was, 13, and I don't remember anything that happened in it besides the sad parts, so...
It's a good musical, and there's not much... people always are like, it's so sad. I'm like, it's mostly, a weird comedy sitcom, if you think about it.
Yeah,
then it gets real sad at the end.
That's true. I'm literally going on my Letterbox as we speak. So I do not remember what movies I saw this year. I honestly do not have a favorite movie of 2021 off the top of my head. I did not see enough movies in 2021. If I had to pick one right now, it'd probably be Adrian, which is the documentary on HBO by Adrian Shelley, because it legit made me cry three times, and probably Tick, Tick, Boom.
Yeah.
So probably those two, and they're both musical theater related, so.
I really, really like The Green Knight.
I did not see The Green Knight. It looked intimidating.
It is intimidating. I also like The Suicide Squad.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's really good. I forgot about The Suicide Squad.
And jumping between In the Heights and Tick, Tick, Boom. I think In the Heights beats it out a little bit.
That's true. I forget In the Heights came out this year.
Everyone forgets In the Heights came out this year, and it's so good. It makes me sad.
It's impeccable. I could not stop looking at it when I was watching it.
Both that and Tick, Tick, Boom are the strange movie musical that is significantly better than its source material in every way.
Yeah. Yeah, true. I mean, In the Heights, I really liked In the Heights. A lot of people are like, why did Nina and Benny's thing get less interesting? I'm like, well, they made Vanessa more interesting. So in the end, it all kind of worked out, I guess.
It's a mixed bag. It's a valid critique.
It's a valid critique that doesn't bother me. Yeah. It doesn't fully bother me, though. The racial conflict between Benny and the dad would have been interesting to see on a mainstream movie.
Yeah. So I guess, after all, I really like The Matrix Resurrections, too, and Last Night in Soho. I still need to watch
Last Night in Soho.
Candyman, very, very well-made bad movie.
Yeah, it's impeccably made, but it has the vibe of a bad movie.
Okay, so we talk about Candyman a lot on this specific Encore thing. They have this thing on Shudder where they have horror icons.
Behind the Monster. I've been meaning to watch that.
Hearing Nia DaCosta describe, I love her, very good director, hearing her describe her thoughts going into Candyman fucking bothers the hell out of me. I do not like what she has to say. I do not agree with her ideals as far as that. It's not even, like, she has some ideas about the politics of it all that I agree with. And then she's like, yeah, I just didn't like the first movie really that much, so I just kind of wanted to throw it away.
That's why that movie wasn't super good.
Well, she came in, and she actually just said this. She's like, she came in, like, to Jordan Peele's screenplay, and then hired someone else to rewrite it, basically. So she came into Jordan Peele's screenplay, and it's about Helen being the new Candyman. And everyone thinks, and I'm like, that's at least something new. That's at least an idea. I don't know what your idea was for this new one, Nia DaCosta.
I want to see that. I want to see Virginia Madsen make a comeback and everyone be like, yo, Virginia Madsen, she's not just that lady from the beginning of Dune who told me what happened in the first Dune, not the new Dune.
Yeah, no, I know.
For the people who are like, didn't you mean Zendaya? I'm like, no, I meant the 80s Dune. Also, I haven't seen the new Dune either, but I'm very behind on my 2021 releases.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to get into the Candyman, but imagine Jordan Peele's screenplay where Helen is the Candyman.
That would have been so good.
It would have been, I don't know if it would be, like, I'd probably still have the same issues I have about it not being Tony Todd, but.
Yeah. He's more Tony Todd. Everything is more Tony Todd. Put Tony Todd in all your stuff.
But that was, and you kind of get the vibe that Jordan Peele is like, I don't want a black man murdering people because that's a bad look. So here's my way out of it while keeping, like, some of the Candyman, like, continuation. I can still have Tony Todd as a character without him being the murderer. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good way to get around that.
Also, spoilers for the 1992 like Candyman here. But at the end of the movie, Virginia Madsen's ex-husband says Helen's name in a mirror, and she pops up, and she's like the Candyman now. So it made more sense.
It was a ridiculous ending, and it kind of is dumb.
It's super dumb, but it would have made sense.
Yeah, it would have made sense. And then Nia DaCosta is just in this, like, that was a really stupid thing, and I just didn't want to deal with that.
I mean, it was stupid. Like, Nia DaCosta's not wrong. It is stupid.
It is, but Jordan Peele is the king of taking a really goofy idea and making it really work.
Yeah, his newest movie has, like, the dumbest title humanly possible. I think it's, like, Nope.
Who cares?
It's going to be amazing. I don't care what it's called.
Yeah.
It's going to be impeccable.
Us is a pretty bad title if you think about it.
Us is a terrible title. I was interning for Wisecrack at the time, and I had to make thumbnails for a video on it. Like, and it was so hard to Google this dang movie. Just, like, I just want pictures.
Especially when you have a TV show called This Is Us.
Yeah. Also, You, which is just a very confusing TV show to Google, because no one knows what you're talking about. It's like that clip of that lady on Fox News who thought she was being, like, shit-talked live on the air. It's like, you're not talking... You're not talking about me. It's like, no, I'm talking about the show You.
You should be the title of Soldier Boy documentary. You! All right, guys, what is
you
your cheese
like
rating on these two
news
episodes, Liz?
Yes. I have nothing to say about Fiddler.
Fiddler. I have nothing to say. Well, nothing that's not been said.
Miracle of miracles, motherfuckers. Anyway.
Adam Walker's back. He's great, but...
Adam Walker's back. Kristen Bell showed up. She was cool. She told us that she wanted Anna to be, like, relatable and trip on shit, which was, like, great. You wanted her to be a rom-com character. Awesome.
Yeah, that's so relatable. I trip all the time.
You see, as a woman, I constantly trip and, like, fall on
my vagina.
Face.
My vagina makes me trip.
Yes, being a woman
I don't have
makes
the big schlongy dick keeping me upright.
Being a woman makes you uncoordinated, clearly, Hollywood. Like, I am uncoordinated, but that has nothing to
my
do with my gender.
My vagina doesn't do it.
Nothing to do with my gender. It has everything to do with my genetics. So, I come from an uncoordinated family. Anyway, I'm gonna give the Godspell episode of Encore Gouda, because it's good. I'm gonna borrow your pun from last time. And I'm gonna give Fiddler on the Roof, cheese latkes.
Good answers. So I'm gonna give Godspell, there's this brand of cheese called Heavenly Cheese, and I'm gonna give it that. It comes in, like, a little ball. And then for Fiddler, I am gonna give it freshest cheese from Tevye's moo cow that he wants to sell.
Amazing.
Liz just made a face that just judged my whole soul.
I apologize.
All right, we'll see you next time on Patreon with Chase!
Unless I get fired in between episodes, we'll see.
All right, bye.
Bye.
So many memories. Being able to be in this show will be one of the greatest treasures of my life.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.